As we prepare for Chodesh Menachem Av, and we head into Shabbos Parshas Matos Masei, we have the schus once again to learn the words of the Holy Bar Dichavar. These parshas are a bit shorter in the Kedushas Levi than we've seen in recent weeks, in Balak and Pinchas, but Baruch Hashem, we still have quite a bit to learn together, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the opportunity to continue learning together. Parshas Matos begins, of course, with the laws of Nedarim and Shvuos. What are the halachos if a person takes another neder? What is the binding nature of a neder? In what situations can one undo a neder? And the Torah says in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Gimel, Ish ki yidur neder laHashem. If a person takes a neder to Hashem, he takes a vow. O hishava shu'a, or if a person takes an oath, le'esor isar al nafsho, lo yachel devaro, where he prohibits something upon himself. He takes an isar upon himself. Lo yachel devaro, he should not profane his words. He should take his own words seriously and fulfill that vow, that commitment. Again, whether it's a neder or a shvua, kechol yotzei mipiv yaaseh, whatever emerges from his mouth, whatever it is that he speaks, he should be committed to do. Explains the Bar Dichavar. We're going to start today with the third piece. I'm going to skip over the first two small pieces. And we'll begin with the words lo yachel devaro, dibar maschil, lo yachel devaro, kechol hayotzei mipiv yaaseh. Again, the Pashup Shat is a person should not yachel, shouldn't make his words chulin. He should take his own words seriously. That's what Rashi says, lo yasa dvar of chulin. He shouldn't make his words profane. Rather, he should fulfill whatever it is that he says. But explains the Bar Dichavar, it's not only a tzivoy to us, but it's a promise that's being made for the individual who's guarded, who's cautious with his speech. Mi she'ina osa diburo chulin. A person who doesn't allow his words to be cheap. Person who doesn't allow his words to be profane, the person who takes his own diburim seriously, osa tikunim b'chol hayotzei mipiv. His words actually accomplish things in a very simplistic pashup shat olam hazeh kind of sense. The way that the Avodas Yisrael, the Kol Yitzer Magid, explains emor ma'at v'aseh harbei. If you say little, then aseh harbei, then your words will accomplish a lot. Right? It's not just the pashup shat in Pirkei Avos of say little and do a lot with your actions. But if you're a person who doesn't speak often, whose words and whose expressions are cautiously guarded, when one does choose to speak, people will take you seriously. Then when you do comment, people will say, ooh, he's not just a loudmouth who always has something to say. Aseh harbe, your words will accomplish a lot. The same thing is true on a spiritual level, on a metaphysical level, that when a person has a pure mouth and pure speech, so then his words are able to accomplish lofty things beyond this world. His words create. It's a creative power that is maximized, and it's a potential that is actualized by being guarded in his words. So again, misha ino osa diburo chulin, a person who doesn't use his words cheaply, osa tikudim b'chol hayotzei mipiv. His words shape reality. Things happen when he speaks. V'yigzar omer v'yakum lo, which is paraphrasing the pasuk in Iyov that he quotes so often, which is v'sigzar omer v'yakum lach. Which is what? That the tzaddik has the ability to speak. A person who has guarded speech is deeply connected to the Indian of tzaddik. I'm not going to go more deeply into that now. But there's no question that speech is connected to tzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik always had the word of Hashem on his lips. So says the Pasuk in Iyov, Sigzar Omer V'yakum Lach, which the Gemara darshins and the Kedushas Levi quotes so often, Tzaddik Moshel B'yiras Elokim, right, that the tzaddik has the ability to rule over a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the combination of this pasuk in Iyov and a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, but it's a gemara that we've quoted many times from Moed Katan, that Hashem makes a gezeira on the tzaddik, has the ability to bevatel the gezeira, to protect Klal Yisrael, to overturn Hashem's decree. Because his speech, kiviyachol, is as holy as a Kadosh Baruch Hu speech. Al yedei shmiras bris halashon. So by having guarded speech, he's able to accomplish with his speech. So here's how he reads the pasuk again. Lo yachel devaro, don't be cheap with your words. Kechol hayotzei mipiv ya'asa, and then anything that comes from your mouth will accomplish great things. And he connects it back to the very name of our parsha, where Moshe speaks to the Rosh HaMatos, which literally means the heads of the Shvatim, but explains the Radicha Rezehu Matos. Matos doesn't only mean a tribe, but Matos, he says, sheyachol lahatos midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu midin larachmim. That a person of guarded speech has the ability to transform lahatot, to incline HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of din towards the midah of rachmim. It's a very fitting definitely what to think about during the Bein HaMetzarim, the importance of cautious speech, both in terms of being metakin, the sin that caused the Chorban, whether it's sin aschina, which was understood to be Lashon Hara. Certainly there's what to think about in that regard. Certainly there's a notion of an Avil being more quiet. The very first of the Kinos, right, begins with the word Shavas, which is this unbearable silence. There's a holy silence that we're trying to actualize during these days, to be able to then emerge from that silence and build something holy with our speech. So it's certainly a fitting lesson for us to think about, but it's true all the time, that a person who, again, is cautious and uses the koach of speech in a proper way, the koach hadibur in a proper way, a person who has shmiras bris halashon, which is that's the way it's referred to, it's not only the bris milah, but it corresponds to the bris halashon, the bris hapeh, so such a person is able to have a nekuda of malchus. That's why it says in the Tikkuni Zohar that the sphere of malchus corresponds to peh. Because again, a person is given a certain ruling authority. He has the ability to make decisions in gezeros and to overturn God's gezeros, kiviyachol, when he has the koach of malchus, which again comes from the koach hadibur and shmiras hapeh. So in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should use our speech in the proper way to transform these days from midas hadin into expressions of rachamim. Okay, ad kan the first piece. Let's go on to the next piece, another pshat. O yivuar lo yachel devaro kachol ayotzi mipiv yaseh. V'nira al pi ha-medrash. There's a medrash plia. The medrash says on the pasuk ish ki yidur neder la Hashem, when a man will take a neder to Hashem, hada detema, this is what it means, yameinu ketzel over. Pasuk says in Tehillim, and there's other psukim in Tanakh that have a similar theme, that life is fleeting. Right? The yamav ketzel over, like it says in Tehillim, kuf mem dalet, that life passes like a shadow. So what does ish ki yidur neder la Hashem have to do with the fact that life goes by very quickly? So the Berditchever very creatively says, it reminds me of the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim says that when a person takes upon himself to bring a karban, peirish ki isa, the Gemara says in the Nedarim daf yudam ed beis, she'asar lomer la Hashem karban. You shouldn't say to God a karban. Rather you should say, rak karban la Hashem. You should mention the karban and only afterwards mention Hashem's name. Why is that so? Shema yamus kodem shiomar karban. Because we're worried if you say la Hashem, and then you drop dead, God forbid, and you don't have a chance to finish saying karban, so then you took Hashem's name in vain. That's the Gemara and the discussion in the Dharma on Daf Yud. So therefore it's better to say karban la Hashem. We're concerned that we're chayish lamisa. There's a whole discussion, obviously there are conflicting sources in Chazal. When are we choshesh that a person will drop dead instantly? When do we assume, like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, do we need a backup wife? Do we need a backup for the backup? To what degree are we constantly concerned that someone may die? Do we need a backup Kohen? Backup Kohen Gadol? Right? To what degree do we assume a person can live beyond the moment? And to what degree do we live with a fear that our lives are so fleeting that at any moment life can be taken away, as unfortunately we see at times? V'chan amar akosuv neder l'Hashem. Ah. So says the Berditchever, maybe that's what the Pasuk and this Medrash Pliya is getting at. Medrash Pliya usually means a medrash that is hard to understand Pashup Shah. We have a collection of medrashim that are referred to, printed as Medrash Pliya. So what exactly is this Medrash Pliya? Again, a person who takes an eder, this reminds us of the Pasuk, Yameinu Ketzel Over, Yamav Ketzel Over. So explains the Berditchever, yes. The Pasuk says, Neder La Hashem. You should say Neder before you say Hashem's name. Why doesn't it say La Hashem Neder? Why doesn't it put Hashem's name before the word neder in the pasuk? The answer is, like we learned in the Dharm, Shema Yamas Kodam. Maybe a person will die very quickly. Ah, so says the Medrash, right. Where do we have such a notion that life is so short? Yameinu Ketzel Over. The reminder that life itself is very fleeting. And Isa Plugta B'Gemara, there's a machlokas, he says in the Gemara, also there in the Dharma Daftes, is it good to take a neder or not? Bim Tov Shetidur Hagam Shetshalem, is it Kedai to take an neder if you're going to be able to fulfill it? Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that even one who's going to fulfill his neder, better not to take a neder at all, even if one will make that promise and fulfill that promise. So says the Berditchever, I can read that into this as well. Zeu perosh pasuk ish ki yidur tzarech lomar neder l'Hashem v'lo l'Hashem neder. If a person takes a neder, so first of all, make sure that you say neder before God's name, not God's name, and then the neder. Mishum Shema Yamas Kodem Shomar Karban on Neder. Because maybe you'll say Hashem's name, you won't finish the sentence. You'll say La Hashem, but you won't say Neder. You'll say La Hashem, but you won't say Karban. Im Kein, Kevin She'ein La Adam. So now that we know that a person has to be so cautious, not God forbid to say one word in vain, so therefore maybe you'll say, how does a person know that he needs to be so cautious? So better he shouldn't take a nether at all. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. That lo yachel dvaro kachol yotzi mipiv yase. If you take a nether, make sure you fulfill it, right? But the indication of this whole notion of the fear of not fulfilling the nether, or the fear of saying one word in vain, leads us to the shita of Rabbi Meir that it's better not to get involved with nedarim at all. Okay, so again, it's a creative art which we've seen at times from the Berditchever to explain the Gemara and nedarim and daf yud and the shita of Rabbi Meir and daf tes. As alluded to by the sensitive nature of our pasuk, that it says neder la Hashem and not la Hashem neder. Okay, we go on to the third piece a little bit later in the parasha, when the Torah describes in Parak Lamed Aleph the response to Midian. Of course, Midian was responsible for dragging Klal Yisrael down in a very painful way, and leading to much embarrassment and much death. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, it's time to get revenge. Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'isa Midianim. We should take revenge on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. I want you to take vengeance for Bnei Yisrael against the Midianim. And afterwards, Acher te'asef alamecha, and afterwards you'll be brought to your people, which means that Moshe, this is sort of the last accomplishment of your life. And then, of course, Moshe is told to prepare an army. Pasuk Gimel, Vayadaber Moshe el ha'am le'mor, Hechaltzu me'itchem anashim le'tzava. Moshe tells the people, you need to arm yourself to find the proper soldiers. Go out and fight for Hashem against Midian. Now you'll notice this is here that emphasize this idea that Hashem says, Moshe, we need to go defend Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, we need to go and fight on behalf of Hashem. So let's learn inside and see what the Berditchever learns from this. Prepare for yourself people for the battle. And then you'll go out against Midian to seek vengeance, right? Nikmas Hashem. Hashem said, Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. Moshe says, Nikmas Hashem. Explains the Kedushas Levi. Ki misha rotze lasos mechamos. When a person wants to engage in battle. Ki sheyismoch al Hashem, oz bevada yaslich b'mochamo. When I do it for Hashem, when I rely upon Hashem, when it's not kochi votzim yaldi, there's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for me. If I'm doing something because God told me to do so, and there's no personal interest, there's no negia, there's no bias as to why I want to do this for myself, no ulterior motive, then a person is going to have success. So when the pasuk says, an interesting lashon, gather from amongst yourself, arm yourselves, prepare yourselves. Hechaltzu meitchem, says the Berditchever, shelo yilchemu lahanas atzmam. Hechaltzu, in some sense, also means to withdraw from oneself. Az bevada yiyu al midyan, as the pasuk says. Hechaltzu meitchem anashim latzava. Gather from yourself, meaning withdraw, retreat a little bit from your self-interest. Vayu al midyan, and then you'll have the upper hand over midyan. You'll be successful in battle. Why? Because, as the pasuk says, Laseis nikmas Hashem b'midyan, because you're fighting the nikmas Hashem, and you're not fighting for yourself. Ve'aslichu kishetikavnu laseis nikmas Hashem b'midyan v'lo lanas atzmam. When a person does for God, a person is going to see great success in this world. That's an important thing to remember at all times, to ask ourselves time and again, am I doing this for myself, or am I doing it for Hashem? If I do it for Hashem, even if I don't see instantaneous results, but I'll see over the course of my lifetime, that by focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the success that I deserved. Again, I go back to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is described in the Torah as a person who's matzliach. He's very successful. But he's also described as an individual who always has the words Baruch Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem, Imirtza Hashem on his lips. And it wasn't just lip service. It was the way that Yosef HaTzadik felt in his connection to Hashem. So that's how a person has Hatzlacha, and has true success in this world. Vayihiyu al midyan. In the next piece, it's sort of a hemshich of this idea. Haklal zeshu lamata ina yachol lasos mechama umishu lamal mimenu. There's an assumption that the one who's down below is not able to fight the one who's above him. Above him might be a geographical location. It's very hard to fight uphill. But probably more pashut, it means a person who's greater than him. It's hard for a small army to imagine that they're going to defeat a massive army. So here in a spiritual sense, when the Jewish people had just gone through the terrible Aveira of sinning with the women of Midian, Midian, so to speak, had the upper hand over Klal Yisrael. And therefore, to carry out this mission of Hashem, to win the battle, to get the upper hand over Midian and to defeat Midian, would require us to be on a Ma'ala Gadola, on a very high level, to lift ourselves above Midian. Kedei lios heim lamala al Midian, to be able to fight the battle top down. And in that way, you'll be able to wage battle and be victorious. And he says that's what's hinted to in the Pasuk, when the soldiers are told to be al Midian, to be above Midian. We have to lift ourselves above our enemies and to make sure, I guess in a spiritual sense, since that's what he's saying here, we had stumbled with the women of Midian, we have to make sure that we hold ourselves to higher standards in order to have the upper hand over the Sonei Yisrael and to make sure that we're able to dictate how the battle is going to go. But it's a similar idea to the previous piece, that when I make it about Hashem and I don't make it about myself, it's not about physical strength, but it's about being spiritually more elevated than one's enemies. That is, again, a tremendous technique to ensure victory in the war. And lastly, in the last piece that he has in Parshas Matos, a couple of psukim later in Pasuk Zayin, it says, "Vayitzvu al Midyan, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, ve'argu kol zachar." That they yitzvu, that they gathered. That they gathered amongst Midian, and they massed against Midian, and they fought against Midian, and they killed every male from Midian. So, but the Pasuk emphasizes, true, they fought and they won, but it was kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. It was as Hashem commanded Moshe. And as we've seen many times in the Kedushas Levi, in Purim, and in Parshas Bahar, and in Parshas Chukas, and maybe once upon a time at the beginning of the year, I don't remember where we started, maybe we haven't seen it yet, but Parshas Kisetze, also he has this theme, that if I do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I do it because of the Tziwai Kasher Tziva Hashem, a theme that's found in so many different Svarim, but it has to become a theme of our life, to do things because Hashem said so. That is the way to be victorious in battle. HaKlal B'zeh HaMelchama, HaYayachol Lios Machshav Azar, B'chdei Sha'al Yidei Zeh Yuchlu V'yasigu Ruchosh Gadlu V'yizu Gadola. It would have been very easy for the Jews to fight this battle with a Machshav Azar, a false idea or hope in their mind, namely that they would be able to cash in on the great spoils of war, which were abundant in this particular case. Kasher haya b'emes b'sof shayelam rechosh gadol, and that's what it was in the end. They were zochet to take tremendous spoils from the war. But again, was that the intention of a Jewish soldier? Or was I fighting for Hashem, knowing that the Jewish people had become degraded through the lowly act of being intimate with the women of Midian? Am I fighting to make a couple extra bucks? Or am I fighting to defend the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His chosen people, Klal Yisrael? And therefore, the Pasuk tells us, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, that it wasn't about the biza, it wasn't about the rechosh gadol. Right? V'shalu biza gadol v'midyan b'zeh ha'macham. It's true, says the Berditchver. They would take great spoils from this particular battle. Aval be'emes, kasher lachamu lo hayelam zeh ha'kavan ha'klal. But the Jewish soldiers overcame that lower machshava of what's in it for me, and they pushed that aside and fought entirely fulfillment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree, go take revenge against Midian. Rakol kavanasam hayamachma siwei Hashem. They fought for Hashem. And again, as we pointed out before, it wasn't only nikmas b'nei Yisrael, but they really made it nikmas Hashem. And that's what it means, vayitzbu'u al Midian kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. They gathered against Midian in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. They did it to fulfill the tziwei Hashem. Okay, so those are the several pieces that we have from the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Matos. Again, I skipped over the first two, but some beautiful ideas about focusing oneself on one's speech to make sure that one is guarded in one's speech and to understand the power of speech, in particular for one who is careful with his speech. The creative art to say neder la Hashem, not la Hashem neder, similar to the Gemara Nedarim, which says that we should say karban la Hashem and not la Hashem karban. bless the person quickly, and that somewhat fits the general theme of Rabbi Meir's Shita, that better not to get involved in the Dharma at all because of the risks involved and the great responsibility that comes with it. Ish ki yidur, if a person will take a neder, not that one necessarily should take a neder, as Rabbi Meir is of the opinion. And then in the fight against Midian, to be able to focus on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, both to be successful and also to be a good Eved Hashem, to fight the battle properly, that is certainly that notion of Kasher Tziva Hashem has to permeate every aspect of our life. There's one long piece on Parshas Maaseh, which comes back to the theme of Nitzotzos, something that we've seen several times in recent weeks. So let's learn through it together. In Parshas Maaseh, he's commenting on the very famous question that many ask on the introduction to Maaseh, the very beginning of Parshas Maaseh. Vayichtov Moshe es motzeayim l'masaayim al pi Hashem. This is Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Beis, the second Pasuk in the Parsha. It says that Moshe recorded the motzeayim l'masaayim. Moshe recorded their going out, their going forth, according to the masaayim, according to their journeys. And then the Pasuk reverses the order. Ve'eila masaayim l'motzeayim. And these are the journeys according to their going forth. So why the reversal in the Pasuk? Seems a bit wordy. Bechlal, but why change it? First mention motzeayim l'masaayim, and then change it to masaayim, the journeys, l'motzeayim, to their going out. Tzarach ledas shinu halashon, bitchila ksiv motzeayim, v'achar kach masaayim. And then it flips it around, masa'ayim l'motza'ayim. So why the reversal of these two expressions of going out and traveling? V'nira kimoda zos, we know from the Zohar Kadosh, that what was the point of all of these travels? Why were Klal Yisrael schlepping around for so long to all these different locations? And why does the Torah need to inform us of all of these locations? Shekol ha'masa'os shenasu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar ha'gadol v'hanora me'is Hashem ha'isazos. Every detail of the travel was al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yisau. As we know back from Parshas Baaloscha, and is clearly indicated by the extensive presentation of the Masos in this week's Parsha, that every move they made was in accordance with the Ratzon Hashem, but Midbar HaGadol V'Hanora Me'eis Hashem Ha'isazos. What were they doing? Levarer Nitzotzos HaKadoshim Shenaflu Sham Baklipos. To restore the holy sparks, those bits of Kedusha that had become scattered through the world, to be able to restore them to their rightful owner, Kiviyachol, to bring it back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to lift up, to be able to serve Hashem in the various corners of the earth, and to move the direction of the whole universe towards that central point, of course, which is Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash, and the Ashras HaShechina that we long for, befrat during these days. V'hu atam shayu Yisrael chonu b'makom echad zman rav, u'v'makom acher zman muad. And al pipnimiyas HaTorah says the Berditchever, this is why the Jews were in some places for a long time, and some places for a short time. It depended on the degree of spiritual work that needed to be done in that particular place. It was all in accordance with the degree of spark collecting that would take place in that makom. Again, many svarim talk about this concept here in Parshas Maaseh, and also in the context of the Berditchever's question of the change from motzeayim to masaayim, and then masaayim to motzeayim. Look in the Rechayim HaKadosh, for example, but many talk about this idea. So let's understand how it answers the question in terms of the reversal of the phrases in the Pasuk. V'nei b'Yoshua k'sib b'meraglim sheshalach Yoshua lachbor es kol haaretz bo. When it comes to the spies that were sent by Yoshua, namely Pinchas and Kalev, they were accused of what? Of lachpor es kol haaretz. What does it mean, lachpor es haaretz? Why is the word lachpor? Ma lashon lachpor, says the Berditchever. But he explains, the word lachpor, as we see elsewhere, means to humiliate. Why is spying out the land and passing through the land and conquering land, how does it humiliate the land? Or in what way does it humble the land? Maybe it's a better way to say it. Ma lashon lachpor. So he explains, achainyan. Ikar kvisha sa'aretz ha'isal yedei mitos u'maisim tovim sha'asu b'makom ahu sha'yitzvichin l'kovsha. How does one conquer land, not just in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense, one conquers land by going to a particular place and lifting up that land spiritually through the performance of Torah and mitzvos. That's how you conquer, that's how you become the owner of the land, by shaping, by molding, by having hashpa on the land through your good deeds. By serving Hashem with proper awe and proper love in that place, that brings about the conquering of that land and the salvation of that land. Shahay Yisham Be'eretz Kanaan. And in that way, the land which has, and again, it's a very deep concept, the feeling in the land, both of its people, but of the land itself, a certain connection or a certain expression of yira, of awe or fear, and a certain expression, a negative expression of ahava, it's able to be transformed by coming to that place and serving Hashem with proper ahava and proper yira. Ki yadua zos, as we know from Parshas Bo, ki mimenu nikach lavodas Hashem, that we're going to take those midos and we're going to use them properly. Lekasher es atzma biyira v'ahava amitis, to take from the ahava and the yira of the Egyptians and to redirect it towards Kodesh Baruch Hu, as the example that he's giving here in Parshas Shemos. Ki mimenu nikach lavodas Hashem, we're going to take from you to serve Hashem. And this is the idea of lifting up those nitzotzos, those sparks, and restoring them to a place of holiness. To take those sources of life and to energize them in a proper way, in a holy way. So part of the way this takes place is by conquering the land. The land has to be willing to be subservient and to be subjected to the will and desire and the feelings and the hashpa of Klal Yisrael, in order to carry out their will. Lasos retzono, ki amakabel hu bosh me'amashpia. Because the one who's on the receiving end is often embarrassed in the presence of the one who is going to be influencing, who is being mashpia. Vizeo alashon lachpor. That's what it means, to spy out the land. Why alashon of lachpor? As I mentioned, lachpor es kol aretz bo is a lashon of humiliating. Namely, like the pasuk says in Yeshaya Chav Dalid, v'chofra halavana. Right, chofra is a lashon of humiliated in the context of that pasuk. To search out the land means to what? To subjugate the land to the will of Klal Yisrael. Vasos amitzos umaisim tovim, doing things in certain places where the land is not familiar with it. No one ever davened here before. No one ever learned here before. No one ever kept Shabbos here before. The land has to become subservient to Klal Yisrael in order to be elevated. And by serving Hashem with true ava and yira in that place, the place became subservient and transformed to become secondary to Bnei Yisrael. And that's embarrassing. Being on the receiving end is humbling. It doesn't have to be embarrassing per se, but maybe humbling. It's a humbling experience. So therefore, if you read through the list of the Masaos, each one more cryptic than the next, places we don't know anything about, Kemat, Vayachanu b'charada v'chulu, Vayachanu b'miska, Vayachanu b'har shofer, giving us several examples in the Pesukim. Klomar, Kishayu Yisrael chonim be'ezamakum shahayisham yira saraos rachmana litzlan, when we came to a place where the midah of yira had been used negatively for so many years, azai hayu ovdim la'ashem yisbarach b'yira saraomus, so we took that midah of yira and used that yira to serve Hashem properly in that place. Lira mipnei pachto v'hadar go'ono, to tremble before Hashem. And therefore, what does the pasuk say? Vayachanu b'charada. They became charedim. They became those who were fearful. Midas ha'yira. Shayu tzrichin la'avod habori yisbarach b'makom ahu b'midas ha'yira. That's what it means, vayachanu b'charada. They understood the midah. They understood the way to serve Hashem in that place. What type of character trait needs to be expressed in such a place? When they came to a place that had a misunderstanding or a misuse, a negative expression of love, and that needed to be freed, that had fallen to such a place from the original supernal shattering of the vessels, a deeply Kabbalistic idea, but one that allows for the scattering of these sparks. So now come to that place where Ahava is currently being misunderstood and correct it. And that's how you free the sparks. That's how you restore that concept of Ahava to its proper place. And that's what it means, Vayachanu b'miska. Right? Miska is a lashon of sweetness or of love. Midas ha'ava. V'chein v'yachanu b'har shofer. What does that mean, har shofer? Hu midas ha'tiferes. It's a reference to tiferes. So basically, each of the places Klal Yisrael we're going to correspond to a different one of the spheros, or a level within the spheros, a nuance within the spheros, each one expressing the process of correcting that place and the midah, the negative midah, that is sholeit in that place. And in this way, they lifted up all the sparks, V'helu asam l'sharshan l'makom hakadusha, and all of the sparks were restored, all of the midos were restored to their place of holiness. V'zo ha'isa ikur nisiyasa v'midbar, and that was the point. That was the mission statement of the entire journey through the midbar, to come to these places and to fix, in a spiritual sense, the nitzotos that were scattered there. So he concludes, this answers our question. V'yichtov Moshe es motza'ehem. It says in the pasuk that Moshe recorded their motza'ehem, their going forth. Hu ha'alas ha'nitzotos shotziyu mimakom ha'klipos. Moshe recorded the way that they freed the captives, that the nitzotos went free, that they went out. L'masa'ehem al pi Hashem. Klomar zos ha'isa me'is Hashem al yidei masa'ehem. So again, first it says, V'yichtov Moshe es motza'ehem. Moshe took an accounting, he recorded, he made note of the going out, the things that were being freed, the halos hanitzotos, the lifting up of the sparks, according to the journey as a Kadosh Baruch Hu directed them, the necessity of the journey. And then the pasuk says, ve'eila masa'ehem lebotaehem. Klomar, eila masa'os shemasi yisovim. These journeys that we traveled, hodil anu akasuv, she'ikr nisiyasam ha'isa lebotaehem. In case you're wondering what the purpose of the journey was, this was the purpose of the journey. Eilam Asayim, these journeys, was exactly about Motzaim, about freeing the sparks. Lahotzi anitzotos ha'alosim l'makora kadusha, in order to restore the sparks to their holy place. So it's not just that we happen to retrieve some things over the course of our journey, but the very reason for the journey, ve'eilam Asayim, you want to know why we journeyed? It was specifically Motzaim, in order to help lift up the fallen nitzotos and restore them to its proper place. A Jew has to always see himself as a shliach, on a mission for Hashem, wherever we find ourselves, and people sometimes travel a bit more in the summer, to see oneself as being maybe the first Jew to ever serve Hashem in this way, in that place. And that's called ha'alas nitzotos. It doesn't have to only be an esoteric idea, it could be a very simple idea. I'm the first Jew to make a bracha achron in this place. I'm the first Jew to ever recite Asher Yatzer in this place. I'm the first Jew to ever learn Torah in this place. There are spots on planet Earth that are just simply waiting to be lifted up by our efforts. And that's what Klal Yisrael were doing over the course of these 42 stops throughout their long stay in the Midbar. So Amir Tzashem, as we continue to travel towards the Geula, we should be Jews who, again, are guarded in our speech, like we learned in Parshas Matos, Jews who do things l'shem shemayim, to do it l'shem Hashem, kasher tziva Hashem, and again to see ourselves as spark collectors, people constantly and consistently on a mission to restore those fallen sparks to their proper place, to elevate all of the various midos from the Ava to the Yira, from the Chesed to the Gvur to the Teferes v'chulu, and then Amir Tzah Hashem will be zochet to the final motza'ehem, l'masa'ehem, as we journey back to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, with the Gula Shleima b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.